There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday, also the second Tuesday of the month. That means we get to hang out with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran in studio. Thanks for coming back.
Glad to be here, Sean, as always.
It's always a good time and lots to talk about. I want to set this up. If you've not done this before with us this hour, your chance to ask those questions that you've got for the sheriff. I mean, one-on-one. Call 343-0106, 343-0106. You got a question? You can ask it to the sheriff. So make sure you get, even if you want to text it, you can text it in. I'll ask it for you, but we'd love to hear from you as well at 343-0106. So I want to talk about, before we get into a lot of upcoming political session talk and all that, I want to say it's been, it's been since you and I've talked last that it happened again, and burying another Mobile police officer here in your time, of course, with the police force and, of course, with the whole family, the law enforcement family here in the city. It was, I hated to have to talk about it again, but it was another outpouring from people here. I mean, it was something.
Yeah, it was a terrible tragedy, but it was a tremendous outpouring of support by our citizens of Mobile and Mobile County to come out and pay their, you know, tributes to him and everybody just all across the spectrum from the news media to our citizens. It did make us proud.
You know, it's one of these things that we'll have National Law Enforcement Day. We'll have different days when you're mm-hmm. supposed to stop somebody in law enforcement just and tell them thank you. I've suggested you do that every day instead mm-hmm. of just picking one day. But does it from the other side of the windshield when you're driving a cruiser, or does it when you see that? I mean, I can see it from the outside as a citizen and go, wow, look at this. What is it like looking from your seat?
It brings great pride to see that. And we see the negativity, but I know, and many of us know, that we still enjoy tremendous support from our citizens.
Doors are closed. Back at headquarters for the Sheriff's Department.
It's just those 10-15% loudmouths that end up getting the mics in their face and they get carried on the news. But the good everyday citizens, gosh, I mean, we just saw all walks of life on the sides of the road during the funeral procession and at the church and at the graveyard.
So that resonates.
It does resonate.
Because I know that from the outside, wow, that resonates. But I'm not sitting in that cruiser. I'm not riding that motorcycle. I'm not in that vehicle. I'm not behind closed doors at a meeting at headquarters. And so it is.
Oh yeah, it is, and it's very emotional. I mean, you'll see tears in many officers' eyes when they see that to just feel that recognition.
Because it's maybe it is the same nationwide. I don't know, because all I see is the outside story from those places. But I know here at home, and I hate that we've had to put this to the test twice in 11 months.
Yes,
but but I am continuing to be proud of my community.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Let's talk about a couple things here when we'll get into a lot of questions here, and imagine half of them will be concealed carry questions. Mm-hmm. That's usually about 50% of what we talk about on the show. So let's do this. Coming up in session this year, okay?
Yes.
Another bite at the apple for a bill here. That why don't you lay out exactly what Representative Gerald Allen's bill is asking for?
Well, Gerald Allen's bill is asking to just do away with the requirement of concealed carry, so that you could anywhere you can legally carry a weapon and you could carry it legally in your automobile. Just open carry everywhere, and open carry and concealed carry everywhere.
Yeah, so
currently you have open carry.
Those terms are different. Explain those.
They are different. Open carry is you can legally carry a weapon on your side in plain sight. You cannot carry a weapon concealed on your person without a concealed carry. And you also can't carry a weapon in your automobile, whether it's concealed in your automobile or not, without a concealed carry permit. The law just requires that if you carry a pistol in your vehicle, loaded pistol in your vehicle, you have to have a concealed carry. Now, you can carry a weapon in your vehicle. It has to be locked in a container, unloaded, and out of reach of the driver. But if you do away with that, then anybody could carry pistols in the cars, armed, 18 and above, really under 18. You know, you can't buy one under 18, but there's no law to charge them with it. And so then there are certain areas that you can't carry a concealed weapon, prohibited. But most places you can, even places that have signs on the door that say no weapons on the premises. That really doesn't prevent someone with a concealed carry going onto those premises. The only way you can do that is to have a posted guard and turnstile at the entrance.
Right. Yeah, we've talked about that before, that if you go somewhere that says no weapons and mm-hmm. you're a concealed carry permit holder, which I would point out, there's never a reason that somebody should know.
That's right, if it's concealed.
Talking about really concealing the weapon, but I guess the remedy for those people, you said it would be a trespassing issue.
Trespassing, or you'd ask them to leave. If they refuse to leave, then it'd be a trespassing arrest.
All right, but you'd have to know, somebody would have to not do their job of concealing that weapon to get to that point.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the way the law stands now, we do have open carry.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody can open carry that handgun or long arm
mm-hmm.
and do that not just on their property, or can they do it where?
Well, they can do it generally wherever they can legally be.
Okay.
Again, though, if someone comes on your property and you can ask them to leave. There at one time was a law against carrying a weapon on property of another, but mm-hmm. When the law was changed, there was not a penalty put into that new law, and so the Supreme Court of Alabama about 4 years ago threw that out. So you can't be convicted of carrying a weapon on another person's property.
Okay, so that person with an open carry then goes in and gets in a vehicle.
Right.
That's when it changes.
That's when it changes. At that point in time, they have to have a concealed carry to have it in the vehicle. And that law has been on the books for 100 years.
Right. So whether it be in a ankle holster, in a pocket, or just still on their side in the open, but now in a car, that is a concealed carry.
That is. As I say, once you get in that vehicle, inside it, you have to have a concealed carry, even if the weapon is not concealed in the vehicle. If it's sitting on the dash or on the mm-hmm. console, you still have to have a concealed carry. The logic of that was set forth 100 years ago, and it served us very, very well for the last 100 years. And were it not on the books, there would probably have been other laws to regulate that. But it's a law that has served us well for many, many years.
All right. So with the exception of those open carry places, then conceal and carry came in as a way to solve that. Somebody has a concealed carry permit that is issued to them. They can conceal it on the person. They can have it in their vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And for you and I, the other citizens, or actually not, we're not the other citizens because I think we probably have weapons on us. But, for normal citizens, they can say, okay, if someone has a concealed carry, you can be assured they've had a background check done on them. They're not a convicted felon.
Mm-hmm.
They've never been committed to a mental institution. They're not the town drunk. They're not somebody that poses a risk to public safety. And to give you an idea, we have 50,000 people with pistol permits in Mobile County.
Out of the population of
413, I think, in Mobile County.
Wow.
Now. So many people have them and never carry a weapon. They just
sure.
use it as another form of ID. But of those thousands of people, maybe four times a year, I may revoke or suspend somebody, one of those persons, for doing something wrong. Now, how many times do you see people using guns illegal and all like that? Well, those people don't have permits. They're criminals or want to be criminals or become criminals. But
right.
So that's what you get for someone that pays a $20 a year fee. It's been that way since 1984 in Mobile County. Hasn't gone up. No one's proposing for it to go up. You get the assurances that person has had a background check. They've had to come to the sheriff's office, be vetted, so to speak.
Right.
And we vet them across a national instant criminal background check. Of course, there's advantages having the concealed carry that, again, you can carry it in your car. You can go purchase a new firearm by showing your permit and not have to wait 3 days because the background checks have already been done.
All right, we got to come back from the break. We want to talk more about this and the challenge, number one, made by Gerald Allen's bill, and then what that means, because you've talked about this before with us, what this means for law enforcement, what
That's
this
correct.
Means for police departments, sheriff departments across
and
the state.
Citizens in general.
All right, coming right back. Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, our guest. Take your calls and text 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 120 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Continue our conversation with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. Does this at least once a month. Sometimes comes in between as well. And talking today about concealed carry permits like we always do. And I'm going to run through a bunch of questions. We got people holding on the phones as well. But this also is not just a Q&A about it. As the bill is back, they're taking another bite at the apple in Montgomery in upcoming session. Gerald Allen is bringing the, I'd say the same old bill, but he has tweaked it a couple times over the years.
I think so, yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the tweaks was originally, I think if I'm correct, he was going to do away with all concealed carry permits. And
right.
And many people pointed out, well, wait a second. That people then would not have the ability to have their handgun on them or their firearm.
In an adjoining state.
Right. There's no mm-hmm. If there's no concealed carry permit, there's not you get no reciprocity.
Right. Right. Exactly. And you couldn't go to the store and buy a gun without having a three-day background check.
All right. Let's see. I'm going to ask. Go to the phones, but I want to ask one of the text questions here. Then we'll go to the phones. I have a this one, a quick one here. I have a concealed carry in Florida. Can I open carry in Alabama?
Yes.
Yeah, you could open carry no matter, I mean, no, mm-hmm. as long as you obey the rules with
right.
open carry, you
mm-hmm.
can. Also, somebody said, you said it was 18 for the conceal and carry, but you have to be 21 to purchase a handgun?
Right. Under federal law, you have to be 21 to purchase a handgun, although it's legal to possess one at 18.
If they did away with concealed carry,
mm-hmm.
okay, you brushed by this a second
yes.
ago. They did away with concealed carry, which is now issued at the minimum age of 18.
Mm-hmm.
Would somebody younger than 18, would they be able to conceal carry? I mean, would if we did away with the requirement there, could a 15-year-old, could somebody have...
Well, we'd probably charge them with a juvenile in need of supervision or something, a status offense or something of that nature. The feds prohibit it, but the feds will not charge someone under 18. I've checked with them. They will not bring a charge against a juvenile in federal court.
All right, let's go to Dominic in Mobile first. Hey, Dominic.
Hey, how are y'all doing today?
Good, thank you.
All right, yeah, I had a couple of questions for Sheriff Cochran.
All right.
The first one is, I've heard a lot of misinformation. I've been carrying concealed for probably about 5 or 6 years now, and there's always misinformation from people. Like, I've heard stuff such as, if you carry, you're not allowed to carry with one in the chamber in the state of Alabama. If you get pulled over with that, you'll go to jail. I've called the sheriff's department. Of course, that was false.
Right.
Where can concealed carriers like myself in the state of Alabama get accurate information to sort through what we can and can't actually do?
Well, there's some postings online that explain it. Of course, I guess some postings could be false or not factual. But
we get a sheet with our concealed carry permit
mm-hmm, that lists a lot of that stuff. And the reciprocal agreements are posted on the Attorney General's website. Tells you which states allow you to carry into their states with our permit and vice versa. I mean, it's pretty basic. If you have the right to, I mean, if you have a concealed carry permit, that pretty much gives you the right to carry it concealed almost everywhere. You can't carry it in federal okay. courthouses or county courthouses. You can't carry it in the police stations, and you can't carry it where someone has a posted guard and a sign that says no weapons. But for the most part, other than that, you can pretty much carry it.
All right. And my other question was going to be, you've mentioned a couple of times now that you can't purchase a firearm, a pistol, until you're 21.
Yes.
I've heard lots of talk about private sales. Example,
yes.
like when my brother turns 18, if I wanted to sell him a pistol, is that illegal or is it legal?
You can provide it to him. It's legal. Now, I think you can sell it to them as well under the state of Alabama. It's just the federal firearm licenses are required if someone is in business to make money selling guns. And that's part of the big national debate of wanting to have background checks. Right now, the background checks are only required for commercial dealers, commercial people that sell, but an individual to another individual can do it without a background check. Of course, you should know who you're selling it to, and most people do, but occasionally they don't.
Well, I'm asking because I've sold a couple of weapons before. They were long guns, but have you ever heard of the website Arms List?
I don't think I have.
It's pretty much Craigslist for guns.
Okay.
Actually, it's all over the country, and it's pretty much just how you would imagine Craigslist, but for firearms.
Yeah,
the majority of people, they'll have you meet like out somewhere. Most people will check IDs. They only sell to people who can still carry permits. Mm-hmm. Like what I personally do is I take a picture of their ID, get a bill of sale, all that. And I was just asking for, like, if I was to sell a pistol to, let's say, someone wanted to buy a pistol from me who was 18 years old, valid concealed carry permit. I'm just trying to make sure that I'm not breaking their laws.
Yeah, you're not breaking the state law, and the federal law just prohibits the sale by a federal firearms dealer to someone under 21. Now, let me just point out, because like the Craigslist all around the country, you're prohibited from federal law to selling a weapon to somebody in another state. You can't do that. You have to, if you sell it to somebody in another state, you've got to send it to a federal firearms dealer and let them pick it up from that. That's something a lot of people don't know. And in this day and age of technology and sales over the internet, that's something I think people need to know.
And appreciate the call, Dominic. I would say the legitimate science will say, that those brokerage sites out there will say ship to FFL in your area, and then you pay whatever the fee is to that FFL to pick up the firearm. Couple things here. Now, we're talking about concealed carry permits, and somebody said the money. Okay, let's get to the money part of it. You said it's how much?
It's $20 per year.
Okay.
You can buy up to 5 years worth of, you know, you can buy a 5-year permit, be $100.
Okay.
And for that, again, we do a background check and all of that.
Okay.
Where does the money go?
Yes.
It goes to
That's
the sheriff's
next
office.
Question.
And those funds are audited by the state auditors every 2 years. It has to be spent on law enforcement purposes. It's not for personal use or anything like that.
Right.
And we buy a lot of things with this. We spend money for a lot of training. We buy weapons with it. We buy armor with it. Just a vast array of stuff that we wouldn't be able to buy were it not for those funds coming in.
Here's one of the things I think it's worth talking about, too. Who sets the dollar amount?
The state, local legislators. Each county has a local delegation has set those
You don't set the amount.
It's set
by
law,
you all to hear that.
By the legislators.
I want you all to hear that.
And it was last
You don't set it.
I do not set it. I can't change it. And I have to charge $20. I can't say, hey, Sean, you're my buddy, come on down, I'll give you one for free.
Right.
Oh, absolutely not.
Nope.
I've got to get your $20 like anybody else, because those funds and those permits are audited. For every permit, we've got to show there's $20.
And then
we've got to show where we spend it.
The sheriff does not decide that dollar amount.
Does not.
You didn't create it. You don't set the number.
Did not.
Okay. I know we've talked about it in the past, but I just want to had somebody come at me with that again the other day. I said, that is not true.
Mm-hmm.
It's not true. It is something that is dictated to you what the amount will be.
And there are very few exceptions of how I can deny someone nowadays. Over many years ago, the sheriff had great discretion on who they give them to and issue them to and who not. But most of that discretion has been taken away.
All right. Let's see here. Let's go to David in Mobile. You're on with Sheriff Cochran.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Sheriff.
Hi, David.
My question stems from the case of mistaken identity in Saraland several months back, where a woman mistakenly thought of a college basketball team as a possible case of human trafficking. And what are the signs that we as individual citizens need to be looking for possible cases of human trafficking? Because I'm out and about in Mobile and Baldwin counties all day, every day, and I have no clue what to look for, what signs to look for. I know that airline flight attendants have received that kind of training, but I have no clue.
You know, most of what human trafficking is about, really in two or three categories. A good bit of it is prostitution. It's a new term for what we used to call, when I started out as a patrolman on the streets in 77, somebody was pimping his girl out. And he, you know, his pimp, and he had four or five girls that were prostitutes, and he'd force them into the prostitution, and they'd have to give their money to him. And that's human trafficking today. So it's kind of evolved. Now, the other forms of human trafficking, if you have a business or corporation brings someone from overseas over here, lures them to say, hey, come to America, we'll set you up, give you a job, get you this, get you that, and then in essence start forcing them to pay all their monies to you, and that's another form of human trafficking that you see in some cities, especially resort cities and stuff such as that. And we've seen some of that over the last few years along our beaches and stuff like that. Some people have done that. So you have that. That's the bulk of what you're seeing and talking about. But it's those kinds of things, and just taking advantage of people that either have no connections here, you know, runaway girls from another state that's on the run, and then they get taken in by somebody and then become indentured to them.
All right, coming back, a lot more questions coming in on the text line. Plus, we'll get your calls at 343-0106. Got to talk about what concealed carry licensing means to a officer, to a deputy coming up to a vehicle and checking it for guns.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Special guest in studio, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. And we can talk about some other subjects, but I do want to talk about the concealed carry bill that's back. It will be back for this legislative session, and opposition to this, not just from you, but I have heard from so many sheriffs. Actually, at large, the sheriffs of Alabama aren't for this.
They're not for it. I don't know of any law enforcement that is for it. To do away with the permit, we believe that would put that many more weapons in vehicles and that many more weapons in vehicles to be stolen by irresponsible people or stolen from irresponsible people. And just to give you an idea, you know, I think I may have mentioned this earlier, that two of the four Mobile police officers in the last 10 years have been killed with stolen guns. I'm not sure about one other case. And then I can tell you that, 2 weeks ago, there was a 3-year-old baby killed in Pritchard where a man shot his own child. Well, that gun that he was using was stolen out of an automobile burglary in Mobile County because we wrote up the offense. And so it just illustrates the guns that are on the streets are being stolen out of automobiles. Well, Chief Barber, or Public Safety Director Barber, I had a meeting with him yesterday, and he tells me that over 1,200 guns a year are stolen out of automobiles in Mobile County. About 80% of those are unlocked vehicles. Now, of those guns, about 50% of them, they don't have their serial numbers. And so we also believe there's a lot more guns that are stolen from people that don't report it because their car was unlocked and they're embarrassed and ashamed by letting a gun get out on the street. So if then... And so a lot of the guns on the street are stolen, but we don't know they're stolen because the people never reported them stolen.
Right.
The gun that was used to kill Officer Tudor was a stolen gun. It was not reported stolen. The way they found out that it was stolen, they had ATF trace it to the store that sold it. They went to the person they sold it to. That person had already sold it. That person had sold it to a pawn shop, and the pawn shop had sold it to somebody. And they go to him and said, oh, yeah, it was stolen from me. Wow. So it just shows you how guns really move around. And you know, we just don't feel like we're really interfering with people's rights or Second Amendments by having requiring permits. And you see the safety, but so many of the weapons that are used in shootings of other people are stolen weapons. And if a lot of 18, 19-year-olds don't have permits because, you know, they're starting their life out. They don't have money to buy a new gun, $400 or $500 for a pistol, maybe $800 or $900. But if they get a stolen gun that's not reported stolen, they can get it for $50 and ride around all day with it in the car. And you're talking about, you know, 18-year-olds going to school, having guns in a car. Now, the school say you can't bring it on campus. Well, okay, they can expel them if they catch it, but it's not against the law for that kid driving to school to have it in his car and leaving the school. You know, it's perfectly legal if you do that. So just so many reasons. And all we're saying is, we wished our legislators would listen to the voices of law enforcement. We've been doing this a long time. We've been watching a lot of people put in bags. You know, it's just we've got to, you know, on the one hand, be reasonable about our gun laws. We've got great gun laws in Alabama. No one's been disenfranchised from being able to go hunt or be able to protect themselves. We have castle laws where you can defend your property. You can defend your life. All we're asking for them is for once work with us, and let's don't keep having things like Officer Tudor and other events like that repeated.
Yeah, you've described what it's like to walk up to a vehicle and you come up, you or another officer comes up, and there's a gun in the car. There's more than one person in the car. Describe that and why that concealed carry permit matters there.
Because at least if they've got a concealed carry, you know they've had a background check. They're not a criminal. They're not a convicted felon. They're not mentally ill. But if you pull up a...
If a convicted felon has a firearm in the vehicle, they can just be...
And he's got an 18-year-old with him that's not convicted. The 18-year-old says, that's my gun. There's no way you could then prove that the convicted felon had the gun. So there's just so many ways. And I tell you, go pull somebody over at 3 o'clock in the morning, walk up to a car, and see that there's a handful of guns sitting on a seat or something, and try to ask them what they're doing out and where they're coming from. That's what police officers are faced with, and they would be faced with more of that if they just do away with this requirement.
Yeah, and just a side note, this will probably be another show, but the discussion of penalizing people for having unlocked cars that the guns are stolen out of.
That would not be a good idea. I know it sounds awful that someone would do that, but then we would have people not reporting it to us. So if a gun is stolen out of your car, we realize it's stolen, you give serial numbers, that gun turns up at a murder scene. We may not initially solve that murder, but we may figure, okay, this gun was stolen at this crime. We go back and revisit that earlier crime and really harp on it. You may solve that, which then would say, okay, we know who the killer is, who had the gun. So you take away that up.
But you would encourage...
Yeah, even if it's unlocked, we want them to know. But don't penalize to where somebody says, officer, I want to report a crime. I left a gun in a car unlocked, and it's been stolen.
I'm happy
they're
to
not
going to
report
that. Everybody should. We encourage everybody to lock their vehicles, secure your firearms, absolutely. But you're not for making it a finable crime.
So here's a solution I've offered, and it preserves the requirement of a pistol permit. Require the sheriff to ask the person when they come in to get a pistol permit to sign a pledge to the sheriff that says, look, I will not leave that pistol in a vehicle unlocked or in a vehicle overnight. And if they violate that pledge, then allow the sheriff to revoke or suspend that pistol permit. Now, that would, you know, I just think having that little added pledge, you pledge to me, I'm going to give you this permit, Sean, but I want you to pledge that you're not going to leave it in an unlocked vehicle or an unsecured vehicle. Now, you may go to the courthouse during the day and have to leave it because you can't carry it in. Well, as long as your vehicle's secured, that's fine. That's understandable.
Right.
But don't go home, park in your driveway, and leave it in your car overnight.
Okay.
And if, you know, you'd be breaking your pledge to me. And so that's all the more, just another reason why, let's keep the permits, get rid of this silliness.
All right. Speaking of the permits, run through some text here and we'll get some calls. This one, can you carry, I guess for somebody, this would be if you had your concealed carry, can you carry to Mardi Gras?
Yes, you can.
Right. This one then goes kind of hand in glove with this one. And this may be one of the oldest tomes out there. Will texted this in, and this is, Will, you're not the only one asking this. He said, what about establishments where the majority of their sales come from alcohol? I've heard this before, that you can carry it into a restaurant, but not a bar.
Yes, you can carry it into a bar if you have a concealed carry, unless that bar has a guard posted that says at the door and says no guns or weapons allowed. Then you can't carry it in if it's a concealed weapon. But if there's not a guard posted, and even if they had a sign, no guns allowed, you still can carry it in there if you have a concealed.
All right, this texter asks on the cost of the concealed carry permit, why is Baldwin County's twice as much as Mobile County?
Apparently, their legislative delegation increased the fees at some time and set it at that rate. Again, these fees are set by local legislative act by the legislature.
And this is why I'll probably ask you. I've asked you this question 10 times over the years, but it's good because people will assume that the sheriffs themselves set the amount, and y'all don't. You're told how much.
Right. Now, that's not to say maybe 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago, the sheriff went to the local delegation. I mean, I don't want to totally kick them under and say, look, y'all said it. The sheriff may have said, look, can you go up on this fee? And they probably acquiesced to the sheriff's request. But again.
But you didn't just come up with that number.
I didn't come up with it. Okay. I looked it up. It's been on our books in Mobile County since 1984. I was still riding around in a patrol car.
You MPD at that point, weren't you?
Exactly.
Eric says, I'm as pro Second Amendment as you can get, and 100% agree we need concealed carry permits. I've seen for myself how they diffuse a tense situation during a traffic stop. You could literally see the officer relax a little when the permit was presented.
And I appreciate him saying that and understanding it. And I just don't run across people that are upset about having to pay $20 a year. The only ones I know that are against it are the ones I read in the newspaper or on the news somewhere that one of these legislators comes up with that says he's defending. I don't get that feedback.
All right, let's go to the phones here at 343-0106. And Craig is in Midtown. You're on with Sheriff Cochran.
Hey, Sheriff. Hey, Sean.
Hey.
Question is, what can we do to help protect our officers out here?
Well, one thing I'd say, communicate with your legislators and let them know, do not do away with the concealed carry permit in this particular instance. To continue to make that a requirement. The other things of supporting your officers is speaking up for them and supporting their recommendations on any laws that need to be tightened up or things of that nature, and support better wages and pay for them. One of the issues that I see, we have such a turnover with our law enforcement that we're losing institutional knowledge, and this is really goes to the meat of the matter. You have a lot of then inexperienced officers working the streets and working specialized units and stuff that don't benefit the people that have 15, 20 years on. You have such a young force in many agencies. When I was a patrolman, the first squad I was on, there were men on that squad that had been in patrol 14, 15 years. They had had a wealth of information and had faced so many different things over the years that could educate me, and I would learn from them immensely. So we've got to slow down that turnover and have more seasoned officers. The only way you're going to do that is increasing their wages and benefits and stuff such as that.
And how about armored jackets and stuff like that?
We provide
that. Enough of that kind of stuff?
Well, you know, that's always changing. The technology is changing. Our officers are outfitted with bulletproof vests that they wear on a daily basis. And when the assaults happened 2 years ago in Houston and other places, we went out utilizing funds from the pistol permit and bought this heavy, heavy armor that would stop rifle shells. And so they wear it on the chest, but it's too thick and too heavy to wear constantly because it weighs 25, 30 pounds, but it'll stop a high-powered rifle bullet in the chest. And so we've been able to do that. And, you know, as technology changes, I hope they'll come up with some lighter armor that will still stop those powerful bullets without being so heavy.
Well, you keep us posted on the legislation we need to help write for and stuff like that.
Please let your legislature know that you support law enforcement and you're opposed to doing away with the requirement of concealed carry.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Move over law. All right.
Hey, thank you, and thanks for the call. We'll come right back to the phones at 343-0106. And somebody offered this one. I hadn't thought about that before. Maybe you can answer as we go to the break. Said you can't, if you're open carrying, you get in your vehicle. That's now concealing. What about an RV?
I believe an RV traveling down the highway would be a vehicle. I think once, and I'm not 100% on this, but I think once you set it up, you know, in a park or somewhere and start spending the night, then that would be a...
That's your domicile.
That's your domicile. But now pulling off the side of the road and sleeping because you can't go any further, I don't think that's your domicile.
But like some of my kinfolk where the tires are flat and they got blocks underneath them, that's probably their domicile?
That's their domicile. But
I wish
pulling off
out
on the edge of the interstate because you feel sleepy, you know
right.
I don't think that's your domicile.
Well, I was just trying to get some of my kinfolk out of my backyard.
That's
what I was trying to do. All right, coming right back, more with Sheriff Sam Cochran right here on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 150 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Second Tuesday of the month, we get to talk to Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. So many questions here. We are talking about concealed carry because also this will come back up in session this year as the retool bill from Gerald Allen attempting to do away, and I guess not completely do away with concealed carry, but not making it a requirement. It would still be there so you could have reciprocity with other states, but there would be no... Would you just ask for it, right?
And yeah, you'd have to ask. The only reason you really need it then would be if you wanted to be traveling another state or go purchase a new firearm and show that instead of having the national background check done on you.
This one's interesting. Texter said, Jody says, how would the sheriff recommend concealed carry permit holders avoid situations like in Birmingham when there are events like that that happens? You know, if there was the mall shooting and you mm-hmm. had a concealed carry, I mean, any recommendations?
Yeah, that's a really difficult and a very good question that when you pull out a gun, police officers, as well as others, they focus on that gun almost more than the person. And it's really dangerous if you pull out a gun and if you're not also identifying yourself. So generally, I would say if you're a concealed carry, you shouldn't pull that gun out unless you absolutely are defending yourself or you absolutely have a good visual of what's going on. You know, there's been some instances where people with a concealed carry have, where it's clearly who the bad guy is. Mm-hmm. And then you, if you want to take action, you can do that. But that is such a difficult and dangerous position to be in because, I mean, I've experienced that myself in undercover work where an undercover officer that I was protecting and in a drug deal, and he wasn't supposed to pull his pistol. He was going to do something, and we move in and arrest them both, so to speak. For some reason, this officer pulled his gun out, and all of a sudden I thought, gun, and I'm drawing my gun, drawn down on the officer because I saw the gun in his hand.
Because you're training.
And my tunnel vision was because of that gun. I thought, uh-oh, he's pulled a gun on my partner. And that's frozen in my mind from 30-something years ago, I think, or 30 years.
Wow.
He should have never done it, but I thought I was going to protect him, and I nearly shot him. You know,
that's some insight there.
You really should defend
insight.
Yourself, but you know, in the case in Hoover, I mean, you know, if you look at it through the eyes of the officer, from what I've been able, and I don't have all the facts, but what I've seen is he saw, heard gunshots, saw a guy go down, saw a guy standing over him with a gun, and then he saw that guy take off running with the gun, and that's seen that in the film, and he reasonably thought this is the guy that just shot this guy down, and now he's fleeing, so he's possibly a murderer or certainly somebody that shot this guy and he's a fleeing felon, and that's why there's no criminal intent. Now, certainly there might be some liability there, but not criminal intent. And that's what a lot of people don't understand.
Okay, we're going to the phones. I'm going to ask you this one here because you're always talking about getting new people in, getting more people on board with the Sheriff's Department. So what is the starting salary and age limit to apply for a deputy position with the Mobile County Sheriff's Office?
21 years of age, the starting salary is around $28,000 a year. If you have a college degree or a master's, you can get 10 to 15% more on top of that. And that's what it is.
All right. Very good. There's no upper limit?
No, not right now.
Who texted me? I'm not trying to.
That's the starting salary.
But he may be asking about the upper limit.
The upper limit, well, I mean, you can go to the Mobile County Personnel Board and it shows the pay scales.
But I mean, if you're, you know, if you're in your 40s, 50s.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, there's no age limit.
Okay. Because I think that's what he was asking. I'm guessing. I'm probably going to get a nasty text back. Yeah. No, I'm a young guy.
I hired a 60-something-year-old man 2 years ago, and he's doing a great job.
There you go. All right. Cecil is in Mobile. You're up next.
Hi, guys. I promise to be nice this time.
Okay.
A few years back, I always present my permit along with my driver's license anytime I'm having an encounter.
Yes.
Well, I'm stranded on the side of the road in the dark with three young girls, and when I do this, the deputy becomes more interested in running every number on my pistol that I've carried for 20 years than my situation. I mean, my pistol became his sole purpose.
Well, I would tell you this. If that's exactly how it happened, then the deputy was wrong. I would tell you that if you'd call me. But, you know, you don't have to. You can or you can't. Your choice to present your concealed carry with your driver's license. Generally, that's going to tell that person you're somebody that has a clean record and is not a threat to them. And then you can say, I do have a pistol in the car, but the officer should not and has no reason to ask to see the weapon and start running checks. Now, historically, I know some police officers / deputies have done that, and I will do what I can to correct that.
There you go. That's pretty cut and dry, Frank.
Yeah.
That's why it's kind of fun to have you in here. People can ask those questions directly to the sheriff. Phil is in Mobile, and he's next. Hey, Phil.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I just got a couple questions. I had an incident. I had a pistol stolen from me back from my home in about 2006. All right. Well, it went 10 years later, 2016, I get a letter in the mail from the sheriff's office. I had some property there. So I go to the sheriff's office and find out it was my pistol. It had been stolen for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they runs a background check, gives me my pistol, puts it in a brown pack, staples it together, asked me if I had my permit. I said, well, no, I don't. I had one in the past. I go right next door, and I get refused a pistol permit for stuff that happened when I was in my late teens and early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 53 years old now, so.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, how can I walk out of the building with a pistol and then couldn't get a pistol permit?
Well, they ran a records check on you when you went to apply for the pistol permit. They were just returning your stolen property when you went to the other thing. I suspect what you're describing in your early teens was maybe something like a domestic violent offense or something of that nature.
No, it was not. I was in the wrong place, wrong okay. time. I never was convicted of a felony or nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't a domestic violence. But I just didn't understand, because he said he had to run a background check on me to give me my pistol back.
Hmm.
But yeah. I'd had a pistol permit in the past, but it was years around the time my pistol went missing. I never got another one.
The how many years ago was that?
When I got the pistol back?
Yeah.
It was 2016.
Okay. I didn't know if it had been long, because, I mean, the some of the requirements on getting a pistol permit have been relaxed a little bit over the last few years, but not in the last 2-3 years. But, you know, I don't want to go into your personal stuff on the air, but the one in the jail, I mean, in the property room, they ran one type of local check, and when you get the pistol permit, it's a national check that's going to check everywhere besides Mobile.
Can somebody, Phil, thanks for the call, can somebody petition that's in Phil's position and say, hey, can I come back and bring you documentation or something to show you why this is not what you think it is? Or
sure, we do that all the time. Sometimes, you know, in the last 10 years, the technology has tied so many systems together, and people have been getting a permit for years and years. All of a sudden, they come in, we have something pop up from Mississippi or somewhere else, and it's never shown up before, but it's just because somebody finally got something connected.
Right.
And so we have to sort through, and sometimes these courts don't even have the old records, and we try our best to work through it with them to help. And many times we contact Montgomery and others and get some convictions, or not convictions, but the outcome of the cases updated in the system, because sometimes the national level will say they were convicted felon, and we've got the local records that say, oh, no, he's not. And so we have to get them to update the national records.
All right.
And we help people to do that.
I hate it. We're out of time for this hour. Goes so fast every time we do it. If people have more questions about
this, they can go
to
our website, and they can contact us through our website, like us on Facebook, download our app, follow us on our app, and see who's in jail. You can do crime mapping. We're there for you.
All right. As always, I appreciate your time.
I appreciate yours, Sean, and all your callers have been very informative, I think.
All right. Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. And as the sheriff, we'll do it again next month, and I'll talk to y'all in the morning.